Okay, a TH. And give me some time to get cold today on this walk. I have to tighten up my collar. Swedish midwinter, which, you know, is Swedes don't mind. Because we like our seasons. Makes life variegated. Variegated, whatever you say. And I'm thinking, what's gonna happen now? The big boys up there on the chessboard are playing with us, citizens of the planet Earth. And now it's the energy game again. Some over there in the west, they are fighting the evil of the east with all means possible, trying to finish them off before Trump takes over. As if that would change the world. And here I am, one of those fairly quiet Scandinavians up in the north who rather mind our own business. And someone said that those US military bases that, what was it, 15 or 17 of them, that were agreed upon, they will never happen. And that membership of NATO, well, that NATO is on its way out. And yeah, I mean, NATO was, after all, a defensive alliance, whatever you call it, during the, it kind of had relevance during the Cold War, because there was the Warsaw Pact on the other side, and, you know, if it is Cold War, you know, we've got to do a Cold War, you know. But then after the Soviet Union, it wasn't and isn't really needed anymore, because the whole global landscape changed. Now you've got BRICS there who are just trying to develop cooperation, trade, and all that, you know, win-win between all countries who want to be part of it. But those in the West there, including where I am, decided that no, never will we cooperate with you, because you're threat to us and you are our enemy, because you are becoming better than us and we are all dependent on you and we don't want to be that, so we're going to fight you instead. You know, these, I mean, I know Chinese and, I mean, Chinese people and Indian people a bit, both personally, but also historically. You know, they think this is childish. How long are you gonna go on playing the cowboys and, you know, the emperor of the world? Let's just, you know, isn't it about, you know, healthy, good, old competition here? Not to try and... make a war against your competitor, come on. That's not how it works. It's about becoming better than your competitor, so let's get into it. Take it as a challenge. That makes you rise to it and improve and getting better and less lazy. Well, no, I think that's the voice is coming there from the east, at least. They're coming from me. Here in between. But you know, we Swedish people, we have a hard time even imagining that our living standard, which to us now is the standard, you know, that's just how it is and how it will always be, how that can change downwards to the not better, to the worse, as we call it. Well, maybe we will not have money to buy all these fancy things, and maybe the stores will not be anymore there. It's getting empty. And these shopping centers, and it's really happening. You can see entire, basically main street in Los Angeles is deserted from stores and things. And where is all that imported food in the shelves? Oh, there's just potatoes and cabbage, carrots. You know, I know, I have East European friends who were living there, grew up there, you know, in the Soviet time. And sometimes it was like that. There's only cabbage and potatoes in the shops. And maybe some vodka. As we Westerners like to joke about the Russians. But you know, the future will tell. The future never knows, as someone said it. But you know, we Swedish people, if I may speak for us, I think we, in general, good people, who used to be at least. I don't know about the later generations. I'm a boomer. I would say, you know, Swedish people are kind of intelligent in a way, and common sense kind of intelligence. Good inventors, for instance. Nobel and Ericsson, you know, all those people. Paul M, who made the lock, and who was it, inventing the matches? Wasn't this Swede, was it? Anyway. But you know, when you're not forced to use their intelligence by the circumstances you find yourself in, you can become lazy, and then that intelligence will just be used for playing computer games or whatever. So sometimes it is, I mean, good for you with some challenges, having to struggle a bit for existence. At least work honestly for it, the way my dad and those, my mom and those people back then in the 50s, 60s did. The adults, and then of course our generation came and we became hippies and freaks and rock and rollers and all that. So that's maybe all we need to go back to. Because in those days, you know, I was born 10 years after the Second World War, and they were golden years. I mean, those after in Sweden. But in those days, Sweden was self-sufficient. I mean, how to say, independent. Could take care of itself, even if due to the war and all that, imports and exports and all that was cut off, we'll still take care of ourselves, you know. Now it isn't like that. We are completely dependent, not used to taking care of ourselves in terms of growing our own food, weaving our own cloth and sewing our own clothes, cooking our own food and building our own homes and providing our own energy to power it all. Of course, we did it then, we can do it now. And maybe that is exactly the solution, that we need to scale down, we people on at least this global north, as they call it, side of the earth, the colonialists. A got rich by that and enjoy those riches. Sometimes too much and in weird ways. But you know, to go back there and, well, you know, if it goes very suddenly, it might be a little tough to get the whole, all the skills back and the production facilities, you know, like in my hometown area there, Sweden, was the textile industry area where my father, who had a little trouser production company factory, used to drive around and buy cloth from the weavery and thread from the spinnery, whatever you call those, and buttons and zippers from little factories on the countryside. Everything was made here in Sweden. Now, some of those who ran those businesses back then are still around. So I think the knowledge, and maybe even the old sewing machines and all that, are still there somewhere. In some warehouse. So yep, pick them up, fix them up, listen to old grandma while you do it. And it's getting fun. Design your own clothes and sell them. And oh, this one, my friends like it. Let's make 1,000 of them and we can make good profit. Maintaining our families. And serving the people of our town with clothes. You know, that's how it used to be and what is natural. And when you have that self-sufficiency, my uncle, we worked with that, some of the biggest production of trousers in this whole Sweden, actually. He told me they basically only imported cotton and wool. Linen you grew here, shirts were often made of linen in our bed sheet, super quality, I still have them, the bed sheet that I slept in when I was a little kid. So it's not a lost knowledge. And I think, well, someone said you shouldn't be out here shouting, wake up to people. But you know, if we are in finding ourselves in some nightmare and someone wakes us up, we are grateful, right? But that's not even it, but if I should give an advice from an old man, it is mainly that it may be a good idea to start even now, even when things look just the way they used to be, to learn a little bit. You know, you have your villa there with your garden, nice lawn that you have to cut and take care of. Well, there's something called permaculture. Real smart, organic and effective, efficient ways of growing a lot of nice vegetables and things in your garden, and fruit. And a friend of mine who's from a farmer family in Denmark, he's sustaining his family and even friends on, as he said, you know, it's enough with 100 or 200 square meters of lawn and you can maintain your family all around the year if you have the knowledge. So it may be good, you know, you have a garden, good thing to learn. And yeah, I mean, weaving, spinning, there's still the old spinnery factory in my hometown is still going on, never closed down, and there are probably several of them. But you know, if you can't get a job, which seems hard to get nowadays here in Sweden, buy some cloth and sew some clothes. Make some nice clothes and sell them to friends and online, locals. And that kind of thing, you know. I heard the cars from the 70s were much better quality than now in the metal and all that, so I don't know, but engines, simple, and they can be repaired and fixed up and made to run a long, long time, very cheap, except for the gasoline, of course. But you can rebuild them into biogas, which you can buy. Next to the sewage plants in several smaller cities, bigger cities here in Sweden already. Not so hard to do. So, these things, things like that, first of all, it makes us more secure, self-sufficient. Whatever happens, we'll always survive. We take care of ourselves. And it takes a lot of fear and stress and anxiety away. Although some modern people today, they think that, what, should I sit there and work sewing clothes and growing food in my garden? Are you a conspiracy theorist thinking that the end of the world is near? Well, you know, then you have the real experts, you know, the old CIA. Analysts and top officers and military and top politicians who are old and dare to speak freely. Who keep telling us that, you know, we are a few seconds close to midnight in the nuclear Armageddon calendar. So let's just pray that those in charge of those buttons get their hearts lit up by some divine intervention, enlightenment, so we can keep this nice planet. And make it nicer instead. I mean, we better grow up and then wake up. Sorry, but if the shoe fits, wear it. Because if you're walking around in your sleep and beating up others around you, then, well, someone's got to shout up a bit. Wake up, and I am shouting to myself too. So hope you don't find me arrogant here. And you know, some people smart and innovative and intelligent in those ways, technically speaking. Some are more emotional, intelligent. We're all different, have our strengths, each and every one of us. So we just share those, help each other using our what we are good at in good ways, and you know, we're gonna fix this. This world is really, it seems to me, just in between now. And it rests on our decision. Hey, which way you want to go from here? The upwards going spiral or the downwards going spiral? And it's getting clearer and clearer what those two are and mean. And which activities lead to which spiral. And I think we're getting a bunch of help from above. You know, in India, the name of God is Hari, which means the one who can take away anything from you. And there's nothing you can do, nothing I can do, if God decides to take it away from me, but can also give. and then there's nothing you can do. Well, maybe there we can figure it out how to avoid receiving those nice gifts, because that requires a little bit of intelligence and being a bit awake. Because, you know, if God wants to give you something really nice, do you think that it would be money? Or what do you think it would be? A big house or a bigger, better that stuff? Or, well, think about that. What is the best one could give you? I mean, really. God is asking, waiting for your answer.